Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're going to do a round of Rotten Tomatoes. Ron's going to hang out for that. And then we have the news coming up as well. First, Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And you want to get your bundle going. So you take your homeowners and your renter's insurance and you get your bundle going with your automotive policy. And who better to do that with than with Geico? Like I said, it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Well, it's Oscar Sunday as we record this. And since Bald Brian finally lost a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game last week that was Oscar-centric, we're going for it again.
Yes.
This week, a category he probably knows even less about. Movies that won the Oscar for Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
Oh.
How dare you?
You can turn on your mic if you want to talk.
I can hear. Yeah.
Some might say it's on too much. Crazy, Chris.
Fun fact, this Oscar category was created in 1981 after the Academy received complaints that The Elephant Man, which was released in 1980, would not be honored. And so 1 year later, Rick Baker took home the very first Oscar for this category for transforming a college student into a terrifying werewolf from 1981. An American Werewolf in London.
Never saw it.
Yeah, I think I saw it. It was like, okay. I think it had the guy from the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Yes,
in
the red jacket. Yeah.
Yeah, probably song and dance guy.
He
Gina
is.
Knows
he
him
is.
From
I can't
Broadway.
Think of his name. Yep.
All right. And it was like a bit of a hit, but I don't even know if it was good. I just remember it was kind of people liked it.
Is that Griffin Dunn next to him?
Probably. It seems about right. All right. So it did great.
Yes, it is.
As far as it is Griffin Dunn. Did great in the makeup department. But what about the score?
I thought you meant the musical
score.
I was like,
me
what
too.
Are you talking about?
Well,
I thought he was talking about Warren Zevon.
I think it had the Warren Zevon song in it. Werewolf of London, I think. All right, I say, God. All right, so we're all going to write our numbers down, and Ron, you can just shout out what you thought the critics did on this one.
Go for it.
You ready for me now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, just from the matching jackets alone, I feel like that's a good, they're going to get solid score. I know that makeup and hair don't mean it's a good movie, but I do feel like back in this time, good makeup, good effects really push things. I feel like this is a classic 75.
Ooh.
I feel like this is one of those movies.
Ron and I are simpatico. I went 76.
I went 77. Gina, please tell me that 78.
I didn't.
Or 74.
I know Rick Baker.
Acceptable.
No, I know Rick Baker is super, you know, everybody knows that name and he's mainstream, but I don't know anything about this movie. I didn't even think it'd be fresh. I said 60.
An American Werewolf in London is certified fresh.
Shit.
At 87%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
so
like a,
high.
It's a classic.
People had it at 85.
Well, here's another fun fact. You probably noticed we referred to this Oscar category as best makeup and hairstyling. But in fact, prior to 2012, the category was simply called Best Makeup. Clearly, some impressive hairdos needed to be recognized. So in 2012, the first official Oscar for Best Makeup and Hairstyling went to this super depressing musical about the French Revolution, starring Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, and Anne Hathaway from 2012, Les Miserables.
I have thoughts.
You must have thoughts. I hated this so much.
Thoughts. You know how you said it was nerdy impressive when I said instead of it's better than the book's better, that the stage show is better? This is a classic example of the stage show being better than the movie.
It looked good, though, right?
Sure. I mean, the budget.
It won a bunch of awards.
It was sweeping. Yeah.
For what's her face thinking straight to the camera.
Turns out Russell Crowe, not a great singer.
not a good singer. Not an average singer.
Ron, but huge thoughts, thoughts on this?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts on Les Miserables. It is also, it's one of my favorite musicals. I remember going to see this movie during the very beginnings of my divorce with another lady friend. And I was like, things are going to be okay. I think I remember the critics actually really liking this movie, if I'm correct. So I'm going to give this an 80.
I'm not ready.
I haven't written mine down yet.
I haven't written mine down yet either.
The best picture? Perhaps.
God, that's, what are we in, backwards land?
It won a bunch of, a few awards.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I was listening to Brian about how much he hated it.
I absolutely did hate it, but I'm telling you, it won a bunch of awards.
It's pretty bad.
And Gina, how much she hated it. What does that mean?
I don't know.
But Ron loved it, but maybe because he was going through a very painful divorce.
Probably.
That can add 25 points to a score. All right. Everyone in?
Yeah.
I went 63.
Nope, 68.
72.
Les Miserables is fresh at 70.
Oh, good. I needed that.
All right. We're all.
Audience score, though. That's close. With
79. Yeah, we're all pretty knotted up here. It's anyone's game at this point.
But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dreams to shame. Go ahead.
It's my favorite Warren Zevon song.
I gotta delete that drop.
Hold on, it's my turn. Pete Ellis Dodge, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit, Southgate. It's all I got.
That was really good.
Transformers!
More than meets the eye.
All right, Ron, it's your turn.
Let's do a story about a man named Jay. Poor mountaineer barely gets his family fed.
All right, we've all contributed. All right, here we go.
All right. Now we live in an era of superhero films, which are not exactly Academy Awards material, but thanks to categories like Best Makeup and Hairstyling, comic book movies can now claim they took home an Oscar. Like this film, which follows a team of super villains, including the now iconic blue and red pigtails of Harley Quinn, Will Smith, Jared Leto, and Margot Robbie star in 2016's Suicide Squad.
Brian loved this.
I enjoyed small portions of this movie.
What did Jared Leto have on his head?
Damaged. So you know he's damaged.
Right.
So this is the first one, right?
James Gunn's coming out with a reboot sequel to this summer, which may or may not be good.
Wait, Ron, you doing a voice on Harley Quinn cartoon?
Yeah, I do. I'm King Shark.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So me and Sylvester Stallone, they only go with legends.
And the aforementioned Over the Top as well. That's so right. You guys, you got a lot in common with Sly. No,
that's my plan, to just take all of his movies and reboot them myself and just be like, hi, Adrian.
Well, let's see. If I was Drago and I said, I must break you, what would you say?
Oh, you look scary.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, was it Mr. T? Okay, ready? I predict pain.
What's your prediction for the fight?
Pain. Don't you say go for it at some point?
No, I'm going to bust you up.
I'm going to bust you up, sucker.
Go for it.
Hold on. I'll do the black voices around here. Ron, stifle yourself.
Okay.
You do yourself as Stallone. I'm going to bust you up, sucker.
Okay, I don't think you sound black.
Well, I didn't want to go over the top like I normally do when I'm just with white people.
Too uncomfortable.
A lot of hello there.
Yeah. All right. This movie was a disappointment, but it doesn't mean it was bad. It was disappointing, right?
It was.
People were waiting for it, and just kind of disappointing.
Will Smith was the de facto star.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's always the de facto star.
True. This should have been an ensemble piece, but he was a big star.
This is a very watchable movie, would you say? Maybe that's just because all the great star power? All right.
There's portions of it I enjoy.
I want to take this movie pass fail and just say if it's rotten or not.
All right.
Okay.
Now, they do give a couple of extra points for a strong kick-ass female in the lead. Right. So there might be a couple of points on there. But I don't think they like this one. Ron, what do you say?
I mean, I get confused as I think about the other Harley Quinn movie that was enjoyable. That one was fun. But I think I remember this one being really bad, and the only person being good in it was Viola Davis. I think I'm going to give this a 60.
Oh,
hold on. Let me do my Viola Davis for you. All right. I'll do it after the show.
Okay.
Yeah,
This is a bad movie, but not like a zero bad. I said 41.
Ooh.
What'd you say, Jen?
I didn't say yet.
I said 52.
I said 48.
Suicide Squad is rotten. A 26.
Oh!
Percent.
Lower. Damn. Mm.
I forget how bad these can go.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a zero.
We've had some zeros.
I'm right there with the audience just about every time.
Cara Delevingne plays the villain, and she spends half her time on screen just wobbling like an inflatable like gas station little thing.
Why?
Right. That sounds entertaining.
She's the enchantress. She's under a spell.
Okay.
It's horrible.
Our next film rightly took home the Best Makeup Oscar for a different kind of comic book movie. Based on a comic strip from 1931, this brightly colored crime thriller features larger-than-life characters like Flat Top, Mumbles, Big Boy Caprice, and Breathless Mahoney. Mm. Many of the film stars are unrecognizable, and the cast includes Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman, Madonna, and Warren Beatty, who not only stars, but also directs. From 1990, Dick Tracy.
It's weird. Even though 1990 is old, this feels older.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
This was an old-style movie in 1990.
That's true.
And remember we used to get all whipped up, like Madonna's going to play something.
Why Breathless Mahoney.
We must have had so little going on in our lives that we just cared that much.
Yes.
Like 9 months out, you know, Madonna's going to play Breathless. Oh, boy. Stop the presses.
When she played Evita, half of West Hollywood's heads exploded.
God.
That was incredible,
Madonna,
I have to say.
Not only played Breathless Mahoney, she also did a song for the soundtrack called I'm Breathless.
Really?
Mahoney. .. Mahoney.
Yes, she did.
Wait a minute. Was that better or worse than Prince's Batuzzi or whatever?
Oh, God. The Bat Dance.
The Bat Dance.
The Bat Dance is amazing.
It was in the year of each other, by the way.
We should get I'm Breathless and the Bat Dance by Prince and see which one didn't stand the test of time as well.
I want to hear the Bat Dance.
All right,
so
bad. This is not good. I probably saw half this. It just didn't. It's just one of those things that you thought might have worked out, but it didn't work out. But all-star cast, and then you got
Hollywood legend Warren
Beatty. Warren Beatty directing, which sounds okay. And then maybe we didn't punish movies as badly back then. Maybe the critics would have been all up on it.
It's fun, stylized.
I saw this recently, and it's. There's some good elements to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying there's some good elements to this. Pacino is just over the top. This is where he really started screaming.
All right.
This is before Scent of a Woman. This is 1990.
All right. Ron, what do you got?
Well, I'm going the other way. I'm just going full out of my feelings on this. As a kid, I love this movie. I love everything about it. I love the watches. I still, even looking at this poster, this is one of the most stylish posters you will ever see. The yellow trench coat, everything is iconic in this movie to me. But then I'm going to take a little bit away from that and take in some of the critiques you guys are saying, and I'm going to give it an 82. I feel like I think this was a great movie.
I went the opposite direction. I went 43.
Wow.
I split your difference. I think it overwhelmed critics with style and star power. I said 62, barely fresh.
55, barely rotten.
Dick Tracy is fresh.
Oh.
At 63.
Oh,
wow. And here's the bat dance.
Wow, good job, Brian.
Oh, bat dance.
Timeless. Gina, you have a wedding coming up, right?
Yeah, that's still good.
This is first
Prince
dance shit.
Hadn't died 5 years ago, I would have thought he wrote this last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So timeless.
Enough of that.
Oh, come on. Do we have Breathless?
Well, I'm Breathless is actually the name of the album, the entire album that she did. But I think you're looking for the song Vogue, so we'll get that one ready.
Oh,
Vogue. That's the single off.
It's not at all what I'm looking for.
But we like Vogue.
She didn't do what was she sang in the movie?
Yeah, I really thought
she had a song in the movie. I mean,
we know Vogue. Thank you.
Yeah, she did sing in the movie, though. What was that song?
Whatever she sang in the movie. All right. Well, I got some making up to do as we head into the championship rounds.
Well, finally, we return to where it all began. Rick Baker. Since winning the very first Best Makeup Oscar, the man has gone on to be nominated a record-breaking total of 11 times, taking home the statue on 7 different occasions. Past Oscar-winning work includes Men in Black, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and this film about a family that runs into a Sasquatch and takes him back home to suburbia. John Lithgow and Melinda Dillon lead the cast of this Oscar-winning film from 1987, Harry and the Hendersons.
God, this movie is right in my sweet spot.
One of those ones I can't tell if it's good or bad.
Me
I saw
too.
It 100 times as an 11-year-old.
Same.
Ron, you like this one?
Yeah, who doesn't? It teaches you how to love something even if you don't understand it.
The scene where Lithgow's like telling him, like, go, get out of here for his own good is legitimately heartbreaking.
It's a great movie.
This was the sleepover birthday movie. Yes. Everybody would watch Harry and the Hendersons.
Did they make a TV show out of this at some point?
That sounded vaguely familiar.
I think they tried to spin this into a TV series.
Yeah, I'm Breathless was featured on the soundtrack. No, I got that one wrong. So
all right.
I figured I'd double down.
All right. I got points to make up.
Me too.
So is Gina. I mean, I think Brian's in the driver's seat here.
Yeah, but this one could be.
Yeah.
This one could be 28 or 82.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun family film, but is it any good?
It can't be good. On the other hand, some of these family films sometimes score.
Mm-hmm. Paddington 2 is amazing.
Oh, that's. People are still talking about that movie.
They should be.
Yeah, never saw it. Paddington 2.
You got to.
I must. Scary? Was that too scary for you?
No, it's good. All right, Ron, how say you?
I'm going to go 7. I just feel like I don't understand this game. And, and that scores that I would are way out of the league. So I'm going to say 75.
Ooh.
I hedged my bets, which is always a bad move. 52.
I went exceedingly high at 79, knowing I had to make up 25 points.
69.
Nice. Harry and the Hendersons is rotten.
No. That'll do it.
Oh!
That'll do it.
At 43%.
Oh.
And here's the Madonna song from Dick Tracy.
Yeah, that's it.
What is this called?
It's called
Sooner or Later.
And won the Oscar for Best Original Song.
Oh, shit.
This is a major audition song for high school and college kids.
Not for the football team. That much I can promise you. They just want to see how fast you can run through cones.
Right.
Madonna was probably dating Warren back then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he make a brief appearance in the
Truth or Dare?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was great. He was great in that because he showed up. And I think at some point she couldn't speak. She lost her voice.
Yeah.
She was told by her coach, you know, her singing coach, like no talking for a week. And and Warren came in and he made like a snarky comment that like, if you can't film her, then why would she be alive? Like sort of like he sort of made this crazy narcissist comment to the camera sort of in front of her. And I said, I think this is the beginning of the end for these kids. Oh, man.
This
started off pretty promising, this game, but it just
ended great.
Yeah, all right, so, here we go.
So who won second place?
Oh, but before he does the score, Madonna pursued the role of Breathless Mahoney, offering to work for Scale. Her resulting paycheck for the film was just $35,000. Sean Young claims she was forced out of the role of Tess Trueheart after rebuffing sexual advances from Beatty.
And Catwoman. What other roles does she claim she was canceled from?
Well, for Sean Young, I'm like true.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to give me some of that Madonna money.
Yeah. All right.
Here Gina Grad, congratulations are in order. You have made the podium.
Oh, good.
Consecutively. Oh, nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Ron Funches, congratulations to you. You got the highest score.
Nice.
However, the lowest score will win. Ron coming in at 107. Ace man.
Oh, it's like golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping it 100.
Yeah.
100 for Adam Carolla. Gina Grad with a nice solid 89.
Oh.
And Bald Brian blew everybody away with his bald head. 37 for the win.
Oh,
wow.
It's
the
Bald
and Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
If that were Little League, we would have enacted the slaughter rule four movies in. Jesus Christ. Sad. All right, let me tell you about SignalWire, powering the future of remote business communications. A major TV studio recently needed remote actors to re-record and dub their lines. They use SignalWire's low-latency audio and video tech with virtually no sound or video lag. SignalWire's design mimics the in-office experience, offering quick, informal, unscheduled interactions that are critical to employee productivity and solidifying company culture. This technology is mind-blowingly good. I was on the call or signal wire communication with these guys that have 10 people on the screen, then they'd have 40 people on, and then we move to different offices. Smart businesses use SignalWire to future-proof their business. Sign up before April 30th at signalwire.com with the code ADAM, and they'll buy lunch for your first team meeting. Go to signalwire.com for terms and conditions. That's signalwire.com. Use the code ADAM at signalwire.com. Yes, Gina.
Hey, real quick, because Ron's here and he loves movies and you guys seem to know a thing or two about superheroes, I thought it'd be fun just to tell you this real quick. Are you aware that Michael Keaton will be making a comeback as Batman?
As Batman?
Yes. So it's not going to be in a Batman movie. It's going to be in The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash movie, Michael Keaton, according to Entertainment Weekly, will be Batman.
Hmm.
Some sort of time travel situation?
I don't know. But let's see. Ben Affleck still reprising the role in Zack Snyder's Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. But Michael Keaton has been tapped to do Batman in Tim Burton's.
Wait, wasn't that movie horrible already?
Which one?
Dawn of Justice?
The Batman versus Superman.
Not only that, then we have the Robert Pattinson Batman movie coming out like this summer or like this fall or something. Like, they're overlapping now. I don't like this.
This is opening too many sprinkles at a time, and then all the cupcake shops fold at the same time.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
But Gina fucking cut me off at the pass. Potter Mike down. I was going to make the sprinkles analogy. Ron, how say you?
I'm more Batman's the better. Why not? Who cares if they're going to do Batman Beyond? There's already stories with old Batman that teaches the younger Batman. Maybe that's what we're headed to. And that's the case. Those are good storylines. But if not, then it's just very confusing. But there's already a lot of Spider-Man, so why not?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I kind of think in a linear James Bond kind of way, which is you can switch the guy out, but you can't have three James Bonds going at the same time. That would probably bump me, but who knows?
Well, speaking of Oscar wins, Ron, you must have seen the End of the Spider-Verse a couple years ago.
So good.
Spectacular movie. And it was like a bunch of Spider-Men, and they had a lot of fun with it. It was great.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
Peter
if they
Porker.
Do something similar, it'd be great. Yeah, John Mulaney.
God, that was so great. Spider Ham.
All right, let me give Ron a plug before we bid him adieu. Golden Arm is the movie. It's available on Apple TV, digital, and select theaters. And you can also check out the podcast, Getting Better with Ron Funches, as well. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. As well, and let's not forget Salt Lake City Wise Guys and Phoenix Stand Up Live as well. Coming up, Ron, always great to see you, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So it's official. Well, it's getting official. Caitlyn Jenner does want to represent Californians in the state capitol. The former track and field Olympic gold medalist turned reality TV star has been rumored to be mulling over a possible run if current Governor Gavin Newsom is recalled. Now,
what I do now?
She came right out and announced it. She's 71. She said, I've been a compassionate disruptor throughout my life, from representing the United States and winning a gold medal at the Olympics to helping advance the movement for equality. As Californians, we face a now or never opportunity to fundamentally fix our state before it's too late.
Hey, Max Pata, did you get that? Did I forward you that email that Mike sent me on this?
Yeah.
There's so it was comical because I was talking to August about this yesterday. And I said, well, Caitlin's a Republican. That's not going to go over well in California. He said, yeah, but transgender. She's going to get the trans whatever. I said, are you kidding? They're going to fucking turn on her in 10 seconds. There's nobody. And I said, you know, look, this is how it works. You can't be a Republican and transgender. You're just a Republican. And Candace Owens is a black woman, but she's not black. She's a Republican. That's how it works. And he's like, well, they know they do the math with blacks and they do the math with Hispanics or women or whatever, but they've not figured out the transgender thing. And I said, oh, they'll figure it out quick. There's not going to be any support on the left side of the aisle, just because of the transgender. She's a transgender who voted for Trump. This is this is not going to work in California. You're not going to win people over just because they're down with the cause. And then the next day he sent me an email that said, oh, you're right. And it was like George Takei and everyone else just saying, denouncing.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get any mileage out of the transgender.
You're right, because I said the same thing, remember, and you made that point, and I absolutely agree with you. I wonder if on the other side of that coin, if you put it, you know, put a mirror up to it, if people who would generally not be down with the transgender community would be like, I don't know, I kind of like the cut of her jib. She supported Trump. She believes in some of the stuff I believe. Does it work both ways or no? Or
I don't know. First off, I'm trying to figure out how big the community is because I only have Caitlyn in it. I don't know a lot of other transgenders. They're
what about,
out there.
What's her name from Orange is the New Black? God, she's getting
all right. Now we're up to two.
Yeah. Who else?
That's my thing. We have this community we built, the transgender community. It's way less than 0.1%.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how many votes you can get out of the transgender community.
I imagine when they talk about the community, they're about supporters.
The allyship.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, you got the you got that email?
Yeah, August gave you 6 bullet points here. So number one. Jenner is a registered Republican and voted for Trump in 2016, but not in 2020, in protest against his position on transgender issues.
Too late. Dies cast.
Is there? Yeah, it's too late.
All right. Number two, the confirmation of her run sparked an instant backlash among the American public, celebrities, and even the LGBTQ plus community. Mm. Three, Star Wars actor George Takei. I think. Okay, August.
By the way, George, do we need to hear from fucking George Takei anymore about the evils of the Japanese American internment camp from 1943 or the community?
Sounds like he's moved on.
Yeah, and also, I think it's Star Trek, August.
Yeah, it is.
Star Trek.
Okay, well, Star Wars actor George Takei, who is gay, compared her standing in the LGBTQ community to that of Candace Owens in the black community.
This is how I said to Mike, I go, Candace Owens, not black, not going to work. It's the same thing. And 10 seconds later, here comes George Takei.
Confirming.
Weighing in. Thank you, George. You're such a fine thespian from Star Trek from 1967.
Star Wars.
George Takei. Jesus fucking Christ.
He's active on Twitter.
Anyway, so good luck with the LGBT plus Q plus community, Caitlin, because it ain't going to work.
Yeah. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. announced that his office will stop prosecuting prostitution and unlicensed massage, according to Rolling Stone.
Live show New York!
Vance announced the new policy in court and ended up asking a judge to dismiss more than 900 cases from past years. So he's not alone in declining to prosecute prostitution cases. New York has joined cities like Baltimore, which have made similar announcements in the wake of ongoing discussions about sex work decriminalization and criminal justice reform. Other boroughs like Queens have also announced they will be moving to dismiss these cases too.
I've always been a fan of the consensual crimes not really being prosecuted. If that's kind of commerce, if somebody wants a hand job and someone wants to give it to them, I've never been I've felt the same about weed, certain other drugs, right. I'm that way. Unfortunately, I feel like with a lot of defunding of the police and the general sort of attack on incarceration that we're just kind of doing this with many crimes now. And that just means more crime. And that's what we're seeing now in a lot of the big cities. So I'm all for the consensual stuff. But if you're going to punch some old Asian woman in the face and then get let out that night, not a fan of that.
Right.
That's not reform to me.
And I don't know who first made this comparison, not a direct comparison, but let me posit this to you. I have heard in some conversation somewhere somebody comparing legalized prostitution to a puppy mill. And basically saying, like, look, it is not a good thing to decriminalize this because the women are still victims, but now their pimps won't get caught. Their pimps won't go to jail. So they're going to keep turning these girls out who would, would love to be up. But now they have the underworld, community and the government both sort of fostering it slash looking the other way.
Well, it's bringing back to a conversation I had with Shelby Coffey, the editor of the Los Angeles Times, a million years ago when I was his boxing coach. And we were sitting around having lunch on a Saturday after I did a private lesson, boxing lesson with him. And something I told Drew later on in life, and Drew brings it back every once in a while. And that's why I'm sort of agnostic on this stuff. So I was saying to Shelby, so what's wrong with legalizing weed or decriminalizing drugs or prostitution or all these kind of consensual whatevers? And he just said, well, you can do that, but then that's kind of the society you're living in.
Right.
And do you want to live in that society? And I was kind of like, I kind of get the global argument of, I kind of don't want to live in that neighborhood per se. But, when you get to all this stuff, whether it's the young girls deciding to be sex workers, somehow it's empowering now to say she's a sex worker,
which is a
fucking victim of molestation, and now she's fucking 19 and cuts on herself and can't get a job at the Starbucks, so she fucks businessmen and gets ripped off by her pimp.
Oh, like, I watch Law and Order.
Is that empowering to them? But my thing of whether it's the 16-year-old chick who's got the steak knife or this mill, this never-ending farm team of young women ready to go into sex work now to get their union papers to work as a sex worker, I would start looking at where do these girls come from, whether it's the one with the steak knife or the ones that carjacked the Uber Eats guy and killed him or the sex worker. Right. Let's start really breaking down the game film. Where are they coming from? What's going on? Let's talk about the family unit. Who is producing this new crop of sex workers? Because This is fairly unthinkable when you come from a decent, intact family. It's hard to create a crop of this. And, you know, we do, it's interesting, we do with these women who are like in the sex worker trade, we do with them what we do with the homeless. Like, hey, these are 20-year-old women who are now empowered and right. want to take in charge. That may be less than 1% of them. The rest of them are victims.
Right.
And it's like the homeless person, it's not a junkie. It's not someone with mental disorders. This is the mother of three who lost her job. That's less than 1%. I don't know why you want to take this vast minority and turn them into some sort of hometown hero for deciding to sleep on the fucking sidewalk or yank a guy off for $50. There's a problem here.
Right.
The homeless problem, sex workers, there's a root cause. We should be trying to get to the root.
I agree with you. I mean, I know women who are in the adult film business, and the ones I've met are...
Well, that's a healthy outlet of a creative expression. But keep moving, Gina. Not the greatest example.
They're, you know, I know I've met a couple girls, and they're cool, and they seem like, you know, nice, salty, they're girls and whatever, and they may be the exception. But you know what comes to mind? Again, not apples and oranges, not even close. But if you had the cool teacher in a class, like in, say, middle school, who mm-hmm. was just like, I don't get anyone in trouble. You know, I'm cool. I'm one of you. And lets the kid in the class get picked on. Then that kid's thinking like, why isn't anyone helping me? Why isn't anyone coming to my aid? Oh, because you're the cool teacher. I'm sorry. So I'm just supposed to sit here and get tortured for 45 minutes. So like, when are we, do we just want to be the cool teacher and we're not actually trying to protect anybody?
Well, there's a couple things working here. One is we've decided that we don't like how much incarceration we see in this country or law enforcement interactions, especially with the black community and so on and so forth. It's a lot of this, a lot of it is an extension of that thing I've always sort of told you about, which is you're fat, you don't like what the scale says. You don't want to do what Ron Funches did, which is start exercising and stop drinking soda. So you go, well, just adjust the scale. Just what's it say? It says I'm 255. Well, let me turn it down to 180.
Problem solved.
Yeah, or like kids aren't passing the math test. Well, let's change the math test. Maybe if we just went and lowered that, you know, this weird, it's a kind of a post fix. It's like we have a problem with termites in our house. Well, don't get a termite inspection. Looks like, okay. Well,
no smog check here.
That'll clean it up. I mean, you're not going to get a bad inspection notice from a termite inspector, but this is really a weird way to address problems. But again, it's like homeless, prostitution, you know, failing inner city schools or whatever. Going and retroactively going, well, we have prison overcrowding. Well, stop putting people in prison.
Right.
Stops prison overcrowding, but now you just have a lot of criminals running around.
Right.
And that's probably not what you want for society. And when, you know, it's like a lot of these cities now in the last year have had huge spikes in murders because the cops have pulled back because we didn't want the cops getting involved. So the cops are like, fine, you don't want me to get involved. We won't get involved. And the thing about criminals, I would argue criminals are possibly the most and least pragmatic people on the planet.
How least?
Least in that
they're plan ahead super well.
They do a lot of shit like they've been on parole twice and they're going to go to the corner, but they think it'd be a good idea to take their gun with them. And then the cop pulls them over and now there's three strikes.
Got
and
it.
Now they go. So it's kind of a, or they steal a bag of Funyuns or Tipperillos from the corner store. And now it's like for
life
that,
sentence.
You know,
yeah.
But in terms of practicality, you know, like we talk about with the cartels at the border, they'll give whatever we take them. And they'll take whatever we give them, I should say, which is we give them this, they'll take that. You know, if you go, we're going to pull back on policing in the crime-ridden inner cities. They go, okay, well, more killing, more for us. Like, that's just how it works. So we can't solve the problem by decriminalizing everything and not, you know, telling the police to step back. There's a version of this.
Right. And like Dr. Drew said, and I think it's the same for sex workers. He's like, do homeless people belong in prison? No, that's not where you go. And that's exactly how I think how people who want to protect sex workers feel like they don't belong in prison. But I really think that if we pull back the layer, like you said, they're not like, oh, this is a great idea. I feel so empowered. Somebody is turning them out and they need to be protected.
Yeah, and you want to talk about drug abuse.
Right.
That's probably a pretty high ratio of those gals are supporting drug habits. So I don't know.
We'll see.
Don't know what the answer is.
DMX, his funeral procession was a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance.
What?
Yeah, we have a video here. A procession of the Rough Riders rap group, hundreds of motorcyclists, and a monster truck bearing a red coffin, reportedly carrying DMX's body. They converged at the rapper's memorial at Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Saturday. The monster truck, coming up here on the screen, was emblazed with the logo.
They got President Camacho on a trike. Throwing revs.
That's right. Long live DMX, it said, and began their procession in Yonkers, where he grew up. The memorial ride was called the Rough Riders 2, the Rescue Ride for Life. It was for Earl Simmons, DMX. He died on the 9th at White Plains Hospital, suffered a heart attack, apparent drug overdose. He was 50, but I pulled another clip because YouTube has like the whole 2-hour service and there's lots happening. But remember not too long ago, obviously right after he died, you mentioned like the little kids on TV.
Yes, and his video.
Right. So at least a few of his kids spoke. I think he has 6. And his daughter.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I think he has like 15 or something.
6 confirmed on Google.
Six confirmed. There may be another 9 or so floating around out there. I remember hearing a fairly astronomical.
You might be right. I mean, I Googled it, and that's the first number came up. But I could be, that could not be telling the whole story.
I have no idea. I just remember thinking, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it says DMX was a father of 15 children. Of 15 children from 9 different women.
Oh, maybe one of them was 6 of them. But there was a little girl, one of his children, who got up and did like a 3-minute sort of rap. Mm-hmm. So you can call the out, but this is one of the kids.
I think she was at Ozzy's funeral too.
Okay.
I learned so much from him, so I dedicate this song to him. Ayo, I'm growing. I'm learning to hold my head up. Ayo, I'm growing. I'm learning to hold my head up. Ayo, I'm growing. I'm learning. Hold my head up. My daddy's still holding my hand, so I gotta stand up. Yo, I'm growing. I'm learning to hold my head up. Yo, I'm growing. I'm learning to hold my head up. Yo, I'm growing. I'm learning to hold my head up.
Better than the bat dance.
Still holding my hand, so I gotta get up. And yo, I learned so much from my father. He taught me life is my story. I'm the author. He taught me to be strong, but it's okay to be afraid. Cause sometimes it'll show you how to be brave. I know how to get up whenever I fall. I never give up. I give it my all. Cause I know I'm big even though I look small. Looking at my daddy's picture on the wall. I know he want me to be the best I can be. Nobody else. I gotta be me. My brothers and sisters, we all stand together. Throw up the X. Daddy forever.
What are you talking about?
I learned how to understand the good and the bad. I look in the mirror sometimes.
Oh, we got another 2 minutes.
Yeah. I want that kid working my funeral.
Yeah.
If my dad or mom kick off, I'd like to get her there. Mm-hmm. Like just, Taylor. It's always.
Bespoke.
You know what's always weird? I was thinking about because I was at Ozzy's funeral yesterday. The person that talks the most is the person that knows him the least. It's the priest,
Yes.
And they go, they get up there and they go, I didn't have a chance to meet with Ozzy personally, but hearing what some of you have said about him, it makes me.
Sounds like a special guy.
And it's like, then he does 20 minutes, but he's the only person in the tent that hasn't hung.
Yeah. there's a Family Guy, no, American Dad, where I think it's the preacher is played by Martin Mull, and he's doing a funeral, and he's saying, you know, this gentleman was a wonderful guy. You know, he had the most flaxen blonde hair and piercing blue eyes, a you know, man of 6'2", and you look down, he's reading his driver's license.
Right. That's right. All right, let's do one more, Gina
All right.
Grad.
Well, I have one that I have been meaning to get to after August showed off his sweet new detail job on his car. As you said, it's just good business to have a flat black roof in California.
Yeah, man, you need that heat. It needs to penetrate the sheet
right.
metal of the roof.
That's
and
right.
really just cook the whole car through conduction.
Exactly.
Or convection.
Convection. But for the rest of us, scientists at Purdue University have created the whitest paint in the world, and they think it could eliminate the need for air conditioning. And we're looking at the square
they
of the whitest white.
Ed Sheeran.
Paint is so white that it reflects more than
It is so crazy, the colors. You know, Phil is the blackest dog on the planet. When Phil comes out in the morning and lays down in the backyard and the sun hits him, he just lays there. You go put your hand on his fur, it almost burns your hand. Like he conducts the black
and
so
he's
much
fine.
Fucking. He just literally goes out to lay down and warm up Tucker Carlson clears his schnoz, and then he goes back in. But you can feel it.
Right. It hurts almost.
Right.
This is supposed to reflect more than 98% of the sunlight that hits it, which means it also reflects heat. Scientists say painting the roof of apartment buildings or the roof of a house could eliminate the need for running the AC all day. On top of that, they think painting a rocky surface of the earth where no one lives could help prevent global warming. They think the paint will be available to buy in 2 years.
AOC has already called it racist paint.
Shit. Because this could really help.
This could help, but not. She's not going to hire the Klan to help. That's what this is. Yeah. Also, it is nuts. We figured out painting the roofs of these flat roof buildings, this like reflective paint helps a lot. But in the last 10 minutes, before that, roofs were tar paper and tar.
Right. Hot black tar.
Ass tar. Right. And then dark charcoal tar paper is like charcoal colored. Right. The tar is black. And that was on every flat roof in the San Fernando Valley. And of course, every warehouse was just steaming hot inside. This notion that no one thought, well, let's paint it white or let's color this or let's make the tar paper white.
Okay, Picasso, or can we just put the tar down?
Yeah, no one ever sees it.
Yeah.
And it would reflect so much heat. And it's so crazy that there's also, we talked about the radiant barrier, basically the tinfoil. If you go to the Costco or the big box place and you look up at the ceiling, you see that silver, that's radiant barrier. Like even when the heat comes through, it bounces it back.
Oh, so yeah.
Huge difference. If anybody, and you don't have to have a warehouse, you can have a house. So
with tinfoil all over it.
Well, what you do is you go up to the attic, and when you go up to the attic, you'll see the rafters, the roof rafters, and you staple on the radiant barrier to the inside of the roof rafters, and the radiant barrier does a huge job. Max Pat, you a flat roofer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah. You got a fridge with a drawer? You got the...
No, actually, my roof has a pretty good pitch on it. I've been up there, and it's actually kind of scary.
Have you been in? Have you been in the attic?
Yeah, I've been in the attic as well.
Sleeps there.
Get that radiant barrier going, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'll look into that, and then my fridge is the double like the French door style.
Ooh, la la.
Wait, Brian, what did we figure out with fridges?
He likes the
French
freezer
doors
on the bottom.
For winners.
No, but the baller move is freezer on the bottom, of course, with the French doors. Not so great as the
freezer on the bottom. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Freezer on the bottom.
Yeah, typically you
no French
mode is side by side. The freezer on the side and the fridge on the side. Mm-hmm. And then if you're slumming it, you got the freezer on top.
Yeah, the white fridge.
That's bad.
Does this help? I have a second fridge in the shed.
Mm.
Ooh, a shed.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Yeah, we had the freezer. God, when I was a kid, it seemed like we had the freezer up top with this extra plastic door that was over.
Where the ice went. Ice cubes.
Right, and you just pound. You have to take a pick and pound at it.
I can't picture that.
The ice cubes go in the little, a little cubby.
Yeah, there's a little doghouse on the top. Ugh.
Wait, inside or out on
the freezer?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant there was an extra door, like.
And you guys missed the complete, like, Venetian blind, weird aluminum ice tray thing that we talked about before.
We never heard of that until a couple weeks ago.
Oh, the worst. First off, it would get frost. It would frost over, and you'd grab the aluminum handle, and it would take your skin off when you try to pull it off, like putting your tongue on a flagpole.
That seems like the when you hit a baseball at a batting cage and it hurts because of the metal.
Yes, that feeling, and then you would have to just bang it and bang. It was all this weird aluminum ice tray. It's always interesting to me that there was one version of this ice tray, and it lasted for 41 years, and then someone went, what the fuck are we doing? This thing doesn't work. This is the worst. The one I had in North Hollywood in the late 70s was the exact same one that Lucille Ball had in the 50s.
In the ice chest.
In the ice chest. That's right. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I got to get my dick in some pussy or some asshole or in a mouth or something like now.
Right, sure.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Who's who we got tomorrow there, Max Zapata, by the way? Didn't put it on the screen. Wait, what did Mike August say? Did he call it Star Wars?
Star Wars, yeah.
It's so funny. I have this autocorrect with Mike that I don't have time to go back and circle back and tell him all the stuff he gets wrong when he's shooting me an email. So my brain, it's like I know George Takei is from Star Trek and not in Star Wars. So I just keep moving.
And you don't want to derail him when you're still trying to get to the point that you're trying to make.
Right. So but I realize now I don't even hear it.
Right.
I have like an autocorrect for him. All right, let me tell you about Air Medcare Network. That's right. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with a substantial copay and deductible. Plan ahead in emergency. Air Medcare Network's highly trained crews provide air medical transport to the nearest, most appropriate trauma center. With Air Medcare Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for your flight, and an AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. That's everyone for $85 a year. Peace of mind. Secure your financial peace of mind. As a listener, you can get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Adam. Use the offer code Adam and get that gift card at aircarenetwork.com. Oh, sorry, airmedcarenetwork.com. That's what I want to say. All right, Appleton, Wisconsin Skyline Comedy Club coming up May 7th and 8th. Doing stand-up there. We're also doing live pod there as well. We're also going to be in Los Angeles, Jam in the Van. Brian's walking over.
Yeah.
That'll be May 22nd. We'll do a live pod there. A lot of fun. And also Golden, Colorado, Buffalo Rose, June 18th and 19th. And Dawson doing a stand-up opening for Brad Williams, Bray Improv, this Friday and Saturday. Late show. So go out and support awesome Dawson over there. And until next time, Sam Carolla for Ron Funches and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
I'm going to vanquish you and then have sex with your fiance in front of your corpse because that's what she wanted. And I'm just trying to give her what she needs.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Check out Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening and Paul Bryan on the podcast The Film Vault. And then the rest of us around here on a killer podcast called The Water Cooler. And then pay tribute to the Ace Man by buying tickets to a show, a book, a movie, or anything else at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.